The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And welcome back as we head into hour two of our daily three-hour tour. I never know quite how to introduce this guest because he is so darned accomplished in so many areas. But Kurt Schlichter is an attorney, a communicator, an author. His most recent book, Crisis, which is a novel about America splitting apart into red and blue, just out. I want to highly recommend it, as I do everything he writes. Follow him on Twitter, of course. Kurt, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for going over my resume. I have, you know, as a Los Angeles trial lawyer, I have just enough ego to enjoy people talking about me.
I should probably call you Colonel Schlichter. That, you deserve that. You earned
that. I'm retired. It's just Kurt.
Okay, Kurt.
I always thought that ego was being loaned to me by the people of the United States to do a job and not my identity.
Okay, wow. So, wow, that's a nice sentiment. You tweeted something that I woke up this morning watching all this news, and I noticed this was happening, seeping in a little bit yesterday with all the mentions of 20,000 National Guard troops in Washington, D.C., and it was just beginning to get a little bit odd to me, and then the barbed wire and the fencing and the mayor telling people not to come. And you tweeted this morning, I'm hereby announcing my availability for radio, TV, and other hits to vent about what a ridiculous deployment this is in the Capitol. It's not even a deployment.
Trying to keep FTC compliant there, huh, Seth?
Yeah, it's not even a deployment. It's a photo op. Where the troops are being affiliated. It makes it feel – I just got this eerie feeling before I even read what you wrote, Kurt, that this is being used as – because Republicans, we can't have a peaceful inauguration. That's how I felt.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of it. 20,000 troops is about two divisions. Let's put that in perspective. A division – there are about 12 active divisions, I think, and about 8 reserve divisions. Now, there's lots of the Army that is not in divisions, but, you know, that's the big combat formation. So they're basically putting a two-division-sized force into Washington, D.C. to defend themselves against about maybe 200 idiots, including a dude in a Viking hat.
Mm-hmm.
So is it overkill? Yeah, it's overkill. But worse than that, it's exploitation of our great young soldiers, who I see as not being particularly well-led. I looked at that cluster, that gaggle in the Capitol where you had dudes strewn all over the place on cold marble. It looked terrible. The troops looked terrible. I'm thinking, where are the sergeants? Where are the officers? I see the photographers. That's you know, there are no bad soldiers. There are only bad leaders.
I understand.
And I don't know who was, quote-unquote, in charge there, but whoever was in charge wasn't in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think Colonel Schlichter would have walked in on his battalion and seen it strewn around like that in utter chaos, weapons there just for the taking, guys not with their issue equipment, every one of us had a mat, every one of us has a sleeping bag, and we all have enough cots in the storeroom, you stick them on a truck and you bring them where you go. I know, because I did in the multiple civil support operations where I participated and commanded and planned. So I just think it was a disaster. It looked horrible. If it's supposed to give the impression to these insurrectionists who are really a couple scraggly beard weirdos who gather together, drink too much beer, call themselves, you know, the Patriot Force, you know, borrow Jimmy's shotgun, and now they're the militia. Well, it's not these guys did not look particularly impressive. They look bored, unmotivated, no guidance. A lot of them look sloppy. It's hard to look good in winter gear. I get it. I know. I've been there, literally.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm looking at these guys, and they just did not look like a fired-up unit that's ready to go out and take on a mission. You can see the difference, Seth. You can feel the difference. I know why. I've been in long enough, and anybody listening to me, they're all nodding their heads, especially the sergeants going, can't believe an officer seeing something smart. I'm not going to tell him. I don't want to wreck everything.
Uh-huh.
But you walk into a unit, you know, this unit is squared away because people are moving with a purpose. They look good. And why am I saying is it important to look good? It's important because you're out on the parade field and it makes the general feel better? No. When you look squared away, that's part of your discipline as a soldier, conforming to AR-670-1, Army Reg. It's part of the attention to detail that you train, because I'll tell you, attention to detail, when things get rough, is what keeps these kids alive.
Right.
Okay? Right. So when I say you need to have your uniform squared away and your equipment squared away, not only is it going to stay alive, also the American people are seeing it, and I don't want them scratching their head going, wow, man, those guys don't look really motivated, bad haircuts. It's like they don't care. You know, as a leader, your job is to help your guys show they care by caring.
I appreciate what you're saying, and the only reason I'm not going to add to it is because I haven't had that. I don't have the experience you did, but I take yours and I take your word, because it was certainly things that I thought, and I was saying, what is it I'm looking at here?
Exactly. And, yeah. You're the boss. You're the guy these people are ultimately working for. And if you're sitting there scratching your head going, I don't think these soldiers are being treated right. They don't look like, you know, you look at the guys in Iraq and stuff, and they come out of battle and they're dirty. Some are bloody. Stuff's taped on their uniforms. They've got ropes tied on things. But, you know, they look hard, mm-hmm. and they look focused. Mm-hmm. And you're not like, they look like soldiers. When they don't look like soldiers, it's because no one had the courage and the compassion to treat them like soldiers and demand that that's what they'll be. They absolutely will all the time when you ask them. And if you're easy, if you're spending all your time, you know, in transsexual issues, blocks of instruction, instead of getting out there and actually soldiering, you're going to have guys who don't move with a purpose, who are living in unsanitary conditions. I'll tell you what. You're gonna get the runs running through those units like you never believed, and that's kind of funny, but not so funny when you're in operation.
Kurt, let me ask you about the other side of this, though, which is the larger image that's being communicated right now. I pulled up a story from January of 2017, a Reuters report. I'd like to read it to you.
Sure.
It's about what took place in Washington, D.C. at the Trump inaugural. A protester hurled an object through a passenger window of a police van, which sped away in reverse as demonstrators cheered. Activists used chunks of pavement and baseball bats to shatter the windows of banks and McDonald's. Multiple vehicles were set on fire, dragged garbage cans lit on fire and dragged into city blocks. 6 police officers injured, 217 arrests were made. The next day, 500,000 people showed up to hear Madonna talk about blowing up the White House. Is the memory so far gone that the only problem evidently is the right here, or conservatives?
No, they didn't forget. They just don't think we have a right to participate in our own governance.
Okay.
They think because we're knuckle-dragging Jesus or loving mm-hmm. or other religions, mm-hmm. Gun people who refuse to accept that we need to specify our pronouns at every interaction, that we have no right, that we have no moral authority to pursue our interests, and that we should shut up and obey.
It starts with the whole notion that speech is violence. And we got used to that on the college campus. It was ratcheted up into an impeachment claim earlier this week, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
You know the law of incitement as well as anyone. There is no decision at any federal level that would have considered that incitement. Not one.
No. That would have been a joke. That would have been a joke. Say, we need you to go fight. Everybody says go fight. Mm-hmm. Fight doesn't necessarily mean violent combat. I mean, come on. Is this a joke? Here's the thing. They were super eager to get this passed. I wonder why, because today we're finding that the cops actually arrested at least one Antifa guy, maybe a couple.
I went to his website.
Who were in there?
I went to his website. You should go to his website. It'll blow you away. Go to his website.
Oh, I don't want that on my browser history. Okay. Not with the NSA out there.
Well, it's a burning American flag is what it is. It starts with.
Oh, well, that sounds like a Trump guy.
Yeah, Trump guy.
Mm-hmm. No, look, there is more to it. And, you know, people putting together a timeline, you know, the president's saying, hey, go peacefully protest. But people had already left and gone over to do things. People were planning ahead.
Yep.
Now, look, I think Trump's pretty impressive in a lot of things he does, but I don't see him as having full command of the time-space continuum, such that he can be held responsible for events that occur before he did the offending act.
Right. Before he spoke. Yeah. It's some version of precursion or something like that. I got to run.
But it's just some sort of, it's like Tenet, except it makes more sense.
Well, I guess that's what they're learning now and doing now with the deployment and the advertisement of the deployment of 20,000 National Guard troops. It's kind of a pre-indictment of Republicans. Do you have time for one more? You got to go.
No, I can do another.
You can do another. Kurt Schlichter is the author most recently of Crisis. It's a great series, the Kelly Turnbull series. Great, great series. This one's about America splitting apart in red and blue. Check him out on Amazon. He's got a lot of books. That's his most recent. We'll be right back with more from Kurt Schlichter. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. It's Van Halen 5150 Day. Delighted to have Kurt Schlichter with us. Colonel Schlichter, tremendous author, communicator, writer, attorney. His most recent book, Crisis, takes you from Capitol Hill to Minneapolis in what could be ripped from the headlines. Kurt, I know some of your music predilections. I'm not in favor of them all. Are you okay with 5150?
Look, I'm from Los Angeles, of course.
Okay.
Van Halen is an important part of our musical heritage.
That was said very officially. Very, very well scripted. Very well scripted.
Well, I'm a David Lee Roth guy, not a.
I understand. We had this debate. Yeah, we had this debate last night. But
and there was some other guy too, and I don't remember who it was. Cerrone or something.
Gary Cerrone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kurt, so when we're talking about these troop deployments in D.C. and everything you and I were talking about in the previous segment, someone will call in and say, but Seth, what you and Kurt refuse to understand is that there was a damn near coup last week, and there's a lot of threats the FBI is telling us are being waged against the inauguration of Joe Biden. Of course we need a heavy military presence there. You say what?
First of all, I don't mind a military presence. The National Guard providing security is a common thing, and that's one of the things they're trained to do. This is overkill, and they're not taking care of the soldiers. So those are the objections. To the extent that there's some sort of perilous peril lurking out there, I'm not defending the nitwit who went and decided to hold the riots in the Capitol. I don't support violence. However, there is no, the idea that this is an insurrection.
Right.
Come on. Just stop. That's just stupid. It's stupid. It was a riot. It just happened to happen in the establishment's backyard, and they didn't like it much. Well, there are a lot of Americans who didn't like it either when it was happening, and they didn't care. It doesn't make it right. Just point it out. It wasn't an insurrection when they were burning down Minneapolis, and it wasn't, as Maxine Waters said, a rebellion in Los Angeles during the L.A. riots, which I was with the Army doing. So I have no patience for this nonsense. Call things by their true names. It was a riot from a bunch of people who wanted to break things and be loud, and they enjoyed it, which is a common feature of riots.
Was there a failure? Was there a failure of law enforcement, as you could tell?
No, I don't. First of all, you wouldn't have expected this to happen. I don't think it's reasonable to have expected this to happen.
Yeah,
I think if you had triple the number of guys there, it probably would have gone differently.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
yeah.
If I don't think anybody saw this coming. President sure didn't. You know, so, I mean, look, it was
That's actually an important point. The president didn't, the vice president didn't, he was there. Congressmen didn't. They were there. They didn't see it coming. Right.
Now, the FBI knew there was threats and planning for disruption.
Well, there would be every time there's any kind of rally in D.C.
Yeah. Bingo. Right. Bingo.
Right.
So, you know, you get these breathless news reports, the FBI. You know, well, look, nobody wants to give the FBI grief more than I do. But, you know, the FBI is constantly getting warnings about things.
Mm-hmm.
To say, but there was a warning. Well, okay, when wasn't there a warning?
Right. Right.
You know?
Absolutely. By the way, Donald Trump had not so long ago dispatched National Guard members to protect some other things, like federal statues last June.
Yep.
Nancy Pelosi wrote him a letter telling him they needed to stand down.
Of course she did. Remember, there's two sets of rules, one for everybody else and one for them.
That's what we keep forgetting.
Now rioting is bad because it was on their property.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're angry about it. Do you think that they would be calling an insurrection if they were burning down Kansas City?
Well, I know what happened when someone tried to advocate for using the Insurrection Act to prevent the burning down of Kansas City.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I think we should reprint Tom Cotton's op-ed and hand it out to all the Democrats and say, welcome to the party, pal.
The amazing 180-degree turn of the New York Times.
Yeah.
Which is practically orgasmic over the idea of military forces being engaged against the other half of Americans is quite remarkable. And you know, I like look at the soldiers' faces, and a lot of them are like, "Yeah, this is a dog and pony show."
Yeah, yeah. Kurt, before I let you go, you have this new book out, Crisis. And it really goes into the issue of America dividing on red and blue, and it's part of your series, your Kelly Turnbull series. But how close to a civil war are we?
I think we're a great distance from a civil war.
Good.
You know, people are like, but Kurt, you recommend that every adult male own adult male and female, every adult who is healthy and law abiding. And competent should own what liberals would call an assault rifle, and pistols have training and ammunition. Why do you do that if not for a civil war? We also have a defibrillator in my law firm. People aren't going to have a heart attack every day, but patients do.
Do we have one, Bill? I'm asking. We better have one here. Do we? Okay, we do. Good. Okay.
If Schlichter's on,
Schlichter's got one. Leibson wants one.
Yeah. Years.
And, never mind the Colt. Never mind the Wilson Combat 45. I want a defibrillator. Okay.
You can have both. We've gone 250 years where really we've only drawn on our weapons once, and that was a terrible tragedy in the Civil War. The simple fact is this is such a radical notion that right now. Our courts still work. Do they rule the way we want? Do they function the way they should? Not always. I'm a lawyer. Half the time people in court walk out unhappy. But we still have the ability to be heard, the ability to make our votes known. Yes, there was there were very big problems with the election. I worked for the president of Nevada. I saw him up close. But we are nowhere near where we need to hurt anybody physically.
I'm so glad you are of that perspective, Kurt. I really am, because it just needs to be said. There is a lot of talk about being in a cultural or political or a cold civil war, and I have long thought we are nowhere near the hot one. And
I served in the ruins of a civil war in Kosovo.
Yeah.
I know what it looks like.
Do.
I don't want it here,
right.
And I'm not hoping for it.
Good for you, man. Good for you. Author of Crisis, the great Kurt Schlichter. Happy New Year, Kurt.
Hey, thanks, man.
Thanks for coming on. Talk to you soon.